Like to call to order the July 5 meeting of the Planning and Zoning Commission. Beth, do we have anybody joining by phone?
We do not.
Okay. We do have a couple members absent this evening, both Tony and Craig. Craig did provide us notice in advance that he would be unable to attend. We haven't heard anything from Tony. So I need a motion whether we're wanting to excuse.
Make a motion to excuse both of them.
I second.
Okay, all in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Okay. Alrighty, so as far as this meeting's agenda, anybody have any comments? Everybody good?
Mm-hmm.
All right, motion to approve the agenda.
Make a motion to approve the agenda.
Second.
Second.
All right, all in favor? Aye.
Aye.
Okay, so as far as minutes go, Vice Chairman Barlock has already brought to Beth's attention one typo in the minutes having to do with a second provided by you, Jim, which obviously you're not here, couldn't have happened. So we'll get that researched and corrected. But other than that one item, anybody have any comments on the minutes?
I make a motion we approve the minutes with the one change.
Second.
Okay, favor?
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Okay. So, obviously, with no one on the phone or in the audience, we don't have any public comments, so we can move to old business. So, John is not here this evening. He's the source of what we're looking for as far as guidance on the batteries used for electric storage. We've already continued this a couple times, but and John hasn't provided you any kind of info on that.
No.
Are you aware of the topic?
Yes, I am.
Okay. Mm-hmm. So if you want to talk to John and perhaps either get his input or you develop your own, but maybe come into the next meeting with, you know, some input for us.
I had talked to the fire chief about this, and he has the same concern that the fire department has over electric cars and such, and he's happy to go with whatever P&Z and John come up with.
Okay. All right. All right. So, Beth, just let's roll that over to next month.
Can I get a motion to table it?
I make a motion we table this for this meeting due to the absence of people.
Okay.
Second.
Okay. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Alrighty. Next being the proposed text amendments for the last districts that we worked on at last meeting, RB1, B2, B3, and B4. And that's Attorney Eldridge.
Thank you, Chairman. There's not much for me to say on this one, except that we're at the reporting review stage, where we review it one more time, and adopt a consistency statement, and pass it on to council with your recommendation. The only thing I did was revise the district regs for the last meeting where we discussed it. There's nothing else for me to comment on unless you have some questions.
Yeah, everything here is as I remember it to be.
Yeah, I agree. I looked through it as per my notes also.
All right, so.
No notes.
Okay, so motion to approve.
You can entertain a motion to recommend council adopt them, and then we'll move on to the consistency statement.
Yeah, so do I have such a motion?
I'll make the motion that we recommend to council to pass.
I second.
Okay. All in favor?
Aye.
And the consistency statement, do you all have that in front of you? Like maybe page 11, perhaps?
So. Yeah, I don't think it was in the packet, right?
It was not. That's correct. June 7th after it was published.
But it does indicate that it is in conformance.
We can go ahead and deal with it. is the same that you passed for the first two permitted use PTAs.
Mm-hmm.
And the chief finding is that the intent of the proposed amendments is to align permitted uses with existing conditions in those districts. And it goes on to quote the part of the land use plan that that finding is consistent. So if you'd like to entertain a motion to adopt the proposed consistency statement, we can proceed along those lines.
I'll make the motion we adopt the consistency statement.
Second.
Okay, all in favor?
Aye.
Aye. All right. Thanks, Jim.
Thank you. Do you have a copy for me to sign?
Here.
Yep, already signed.
Thank you.
Chairman, I'll take the next one if you'd like.
If you would, please.
Unlike the previous matter, which was for review and report, this is still under discussion. And there's a two-pronged approach to the SIC code proposed text amendments. I'm handling the text, so to speak, and Member Barlock is handling the numbers, so to speak. And I believe I've completed my portion of it, and I believe Mr. Barlock is still working on his, hence it's for discussion only. If you can get the red ink in front of you. What I did, I looked at two things, and they both come out of the section that is on the second of the two pages, uses which are prohibited. The current version has a prohibited use as adult book and video stores. Those are not really standard definitions, and the definitions of adult establishments, be it a video store, motion picture theater, or whatever the other one is, they're pretty well settled all across the state. So I eliminated the discussion that prohibited use and plugged in correct language in accordance with the recommended definitions that are on page one. And like I said, these definitions are pretty well settled. There's a definition, we're adding a definition for adult bookstore, adult cabaret, adult establishment, and adult motion picture. Adult establishment is simply all three of those. If it's one of those, it's also an adult establishment. So if you turn the page and look at the bottom of page two, 1508050, instead of prohibiting adult book and video stores, which leaves open all the other adult type of establishments, we deleted book and video stores and just plugged in adult establishments as defined in this chapter. And that encompasses a much broader scope of adult-related activities. Before I move on to the second change, I do want to point out that I haven't looked at it for a long time, but I'm pretty sure there are constitutional issues with an outright ban on adult establishments. I believe there's First Amendment U.S. Supreme Court opinion which says you can't ban them, you can regulate them, but you can't ban them. And normally what you do is you set up geographical restrictions and you say you can be in this district if it's a 500 feet away from a church, 1,000 feet away from a residence, and you have to kind of figure out where that is. But an outright ban could be problematic, just FYI. We can revisit that again if you'd like to, but that's not before us tonight.
Okay.
The other thing that I did with respect to SIC codes and definitions and prohibited uses, if you again turn to page two, and go back to the prohibited use section at the bottom, 0.050, you'll see that there's a provision, the current text prohibits internet gaming devices. Putting aside the burning question of whether the teenagers in this town should be issued a civil citation for using internet gaming devices, the correct terminology is really what we plugged in on page one. I pass out a copy of a statute, 14306 dot one A, which I, this internet gaming device prohibition was before my time, before your all's time. And I believe it was simply, you might want to copy it for me. I believe it was simply erroneous language. And you'll see in the statute that, well, first of all, the title, types of machines and devices prohibited by law, and there's a bunch of them. But if you go down to, if you look at subsection D, the video gaming machine means all those things, 1 through 9, but it also, it's not a very well-drafted definition because you have to read the other two paragraphs below the subsections 1 through 9 to get the rest of the definition. I simply took that language, moved some of the provisions in the last two paragraphs in, I put them in different order, but what we've got is a proposed text amendment on page 1 of the document in front of you is the correct definition of what I think is the correct terminology, which is video gaming machines, which by statute are prohibited. And I think that makes a lot more sense than just the internet gaming device. So
gotcha.
I simply am proposing amendments that bring this part of the code into line and conform it to this statute.
Makes sense.
And that's really all I have to say about that. Going back to the prohibited use, and I think I mentioned this last time, I went ahead and struck the SIP code references in 050 prohibited uses. For example, taking the current text, adult book and video stores, those SIP codes that follow that are legit books and video stores. They don't have any adult component to them. So it's almost not a reference to what the term means. It's almost a reference to what it contrasts with.
Gotcha.
And the same thing with, I don't remember what they were, but I, for the same reason, having looked at it, for the same reason I eliminated the SIC codes for internet gaming devices, which should now be video gaming machines. I'll be glad to answer any questions you have, and we can figure out when this will be ready for review and comment.
What is this from, these definitions that you handed out? This
general
is from
statute, North Carolina general statute.
So video Keno games are not allowed in North Carolina?
You have to read the whole definition. A slot machine or an electronic, mechanical, or computerized video machine requiring deposits of coin or tokens or credit cards. So it's a machine of chance, not skill, that requires you to pay to play. And they're prohibited by statute. Mm-hmm. Now, that might change over time, and there's been a lot of litigation about it recently. I mean, right now, I think the General Assembly is wrestling with online sports betting, and that kind of emphasis could result in changes to this particular statute. But that's the statute now. It's still current. And there has been a lot of it. If you Google video gaming machines in North Carolina, you'll see that there's been a lot of litigation and blowback about it.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Thank you.
Yep. And then, Jim, even though you didn't mention it, because it's been discussed at length, you did add that Section D under district regulations to avoid the potential conflict for an SIC code not matching up to the definition.
Oh, yeah. That was, I think we took care of that last time.
Yes.
Right, on the second page, 15.08.040D, the amendment that the commission reached a consensus on last month that the SIC code references are there for illustrative purposes only, and if there's a conflict between that and the code text controls.
Yep. So, gentlemen, any questions, comments on this work?
Not a question, but just so logistically, do you want me to take your SIC code work and insert it into mine so we only have one text amendment for SIC code? Or do we have two? Or do you want to put them together?
Why don't you, well, tell me, can we discuss a little bit of what you are doing?
Well, what I am doing is verifying that wherever a SIC code appears in Chapter 15, that it's the correct code, that it does match with our appendix in the back, and I'm actually going to the SIC code to verify that it's correct, because I found some numbers already that have nothing to do with the reference that they're talking about. So I've been hunting down the correct code number.
And I'm not trying to put you on the spot. Would you say, I'm just trying to gauge the scope of what you're doing. Would you say you're halfway through your...
Oh, I'm more than halfway through. I'll be done by next meeting.
And how many, roughly, would you say, how many errors would you say you found so far?
Oh, that's hard to say.
A handful, 10, less than 10?
30.
30. Yeah. I think that you should just send your red line changes to me.
Okay.
And let me work them into this document. I think that'd be the most.
That's good. Okay.
So based on that, it would be my understanding that we'll have SIC codes for discussion again next month.
That's what it sounds like.
And then review and report.
For hopefully final discussion.
Yes, exactly. Mm-hmm.
Okay. All right, so Beth, we'll have that as a continued topic.
Yes, sir. Okay.
Thank you.
Thank you.
So we can be the repair center for North Carolina.
Repair center. Everything.
All righty, so we had one new business topic, and that was Vice Chair Barlock's recommendation that once we had time, that we would pull back up the land use plan and go through it and understand any of the responsibilities specifically from a planning and zoning standpoint that we might have in lieu of the recommendations that were made in the land use plan. Having gone through it, you can find many examples where it would seem as if we should have input and some degree of responsibility. However, Jim, just kind of pointing you to kind of the homework assignment we all have. Towards the end, there is a summary that actually takes all of the recommendations throughout the entire plan and then shows anticipated time frame for dealing with it and which area is responsible. And planning and zoning is not specifically mentioned anywhere in that chart. However,
do we have anything we can look at?
They all have copies
of the plan. I'm not sure where you are in the plan and what you're
doing.
Let me
keep yours. I'll show them. Okay.
Now there are many examples where both administration as well as building inspector are shown. And that potentially could be where, you know, planning and zoning could potentially provide assistance. So what I'd ask is that Mandy and Beth, if you all from an administration standpoint could kind of look through that and determine if there's anything that we would want to have planning and zoning focused on, and then equally the members here do the same so that we can have a more robust discussion next month on anything that we think we should potentially take responsibility for or involve in.
May I make a few comments?
Yes, please.
Think about how I want.
Yeah. It's 6.6-3.
Yes. Yeah, okay. Okay. Member Barlock showed them to me. That was helpful. I think there is substance to what you say, but I want you to also consider the context. The overall context of planning and zoning commission's functions. Number one, They're set forth in black and white by general statute. Number two, using those statutory provisions, there is a list of PZC responsibilities set forth in the code, either chapter 2 or chapter 12, I forget, but it's laid out pretty expressly. Since what you do is regulated and set forth by statute, and I'm sure you're thinking of this anyway, but it, nonetheless, I think it needs to be said. Since what you do is regulated by statute and by code, you would, and like I say, I'm sure you're contemplating this, you would seek approval from council before getting too deep into this.
Sure.
And some of these things, looking over, is it just 6.3 and 6.4, or is there more?
Yeah, it goes, yes,
okay,
it's 6.6.
So we're looking at this table from 6.3 to 6.6. There probably are some things in here that you could get involved with council's blessing. And there's probably some things in here that council doesn't want you to tinker with. Because these are not mandates, these
correct.
Are discretionary considerations. And I do recall that there was a land use development committee that worked with COG, and COG authored this document. And I do remember at a certain point in time, well, actually more than once, we backed the original text that COG brought us was you shall, you shall, you shall. And we softened it up quite a bit to you may consider, you may consider, you may consider.
Mm-hmm. And Jim, also right above the table, there is a disclaimer. Says the schedule is not a mandate for the allocation of funding, nor does it require such.
Right.
So it tells you right there, this is not a mandate. Mm-hmm.
So just keep those things in mind as you formulate an action plan. Mm-hmm. You might want to start, for example, by, thank you, that was very helpful, by having a discussion targeting which of those areas you might want to spend more time with. And the liaison may also be able to enhance that discussion. Right. And perhaps legally there are some considerations too when you develop your target list. Right.
And then to share that, those thoughts with council in advance before expending a lot of effort into it?
I would not get involved in anything. Mandy and Beth can correct me, and Councilman Panicali may also correct me, but these are significant considerations, and I just wouldn't get in personally. If I was PZC, I would refine and define a list, set it up as an agenda item during a council meeting, and if it's sensitive enough, perhaps closed session, but that would be awkward. And just discuss whether, give you pros and your cons, but I think any one of these would require council's blessing as a prudent thing to do.
Okay.
Before you get into it.
Right.
I can see defining and refining the list, but I that's where I would stop and get council's blessing after that.
Understood.
Right.
Okay. Yeah, and that I think is exactly right. What we were thinking, Jim.
And so, I think we should focus on the ones that are worded such, consider amending town ordinances, because we are keepers of the ordinance.
You can find the whatever those things are called. I call them considerations. There's some certainly focused on planning and development, and others that are focused on, for example, administration and finance. So,
would focus on
being your daily work.
Absolutely.
Okay. Thank you, Jim.
All right, so again, if we could have just folks prepared for that kind of discussion next month, that'll be our primary new business topic, or I guess at this point, a carryover topic. And that actually takes us through our agenda for this evening, so short and sweet as it was.
I don't have anything else.
So.
Anything else?
No.
Make a motion, we adjourn.
Second.
Favor? Aye.
Aye.
We're adjourned.